Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
It's episode 199. 199 weeks. Well, I mean episodes. We've taken some weeks off.
Yeah. You know, we're not, you know, it's more than 83.
It is more than 83. But we also haven't spent all 199 weeks at the top. But no, this is a show where we cover wrestler through five of their most important matches by watching them and talking and getting on random tangents. Episode 200 is next week.
Oh,
it's a big deal.
Huge.
It's a huge deal. Episode 100, we did like a kind of look back. Episode 200, we're doing something a little different. We are going to be rewatching three of the matches from our very first episode. We're going to be doing a little bit of an Eddie Guerrero revisit. We're very excited for that because Eddie Guerrero, yes, one of both of our favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, my guy. My first favorite wrestler, the guy that, honestly, without Eddie Guerrero, I don't think that I am doing this podcast with you right now.
That's fair. Easily one of my top five. The other thing we're doing is a Q&A, and we badly would like your questions for the Q&A. You can email us, crossbodyofworkpod@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at crossbodyofwork. DM us your questions. Tweet them at us. We're going to throw some things on Twitter. If I knew how to put polls underneath of Spotify episodes, I would. But you can also just leave a review. It is for some people. You can leave a review and put your question there. We will answer it. They can be about wrestling. They can be about other stuff, whatever. We would love to answer some questions from some people.
We'll throw stuff on the Instagram stories so you can respond to them.
From episode 100 to 200, we've gained a lot of listeners, and we're really excited that you're here. So we want to just answer your questions. We think it'll be fun, plus all your usual stuff as we dive back in to Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero.
The other thing. By the time episode 200 comes out, the podcast art will have changed. So we are getting a little bit of a revamp for episode 200. New logo, some new intros. The music will remain the same, which is very cool. But you're going to see some new stuff. If you see a new logo and looks unfamiliar, don't worry. It's still us.
Yes, we cannot emphasize that enough. It is still us.
It remains us. We hope you enjoy it. We're going for a little bit more of a retro vibe. Been working on the new logos for a little bit now. So we're excited for them to drop for a little bit of a rebrand as we head into WrestleMania season.
And be nice. Evan did a great job on those.
I like to think so. I think I did a pretty good job. All right, that's enough housekeeping. Let's talk about Mayu Iwatani. Why did you choose her specifically for this week?
I mean, her nickname is literally the icon of stardom. So,
yeah, that's a pretty good reason. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Look, Mayu Iwatani, she's always felt like, at least to me, she's always kind of felt like the third person in that, you know, mix of Kairi, Io, even going back a little further than that. She's younger than both of them, I believe.
She's
but,
only,
you know,
30.
In that mix. Yeah, I mean, if you look at all of their ages, you're like, how are you so young?
Yeah.
But yeah, Mayu, you know, she's the icon of stardom. She's just this person who started off so young, and she got her licks in super early, mm-hmm. and then got really fortunate when Kairi and Io decided to bounce for greener pastures. The same thing could be said with Kana as well. It just opened up slots for her, and you know, she was kind of being positioned for the top spot pretty early on.
Yeah.
But once she got that opportunity, you know, I will say this, like, I think that Mayu Iwatani's run from like 2019 through to honestly last year pretty much is like up there with, really, in my opinion, only Okada's run from when he beat Tanahashi back in like 2015 to when he dropped the belt to Omega. Like, it is banger after banger after banger, like through COVID, company
I
on
know.
Her back.
I know how much you love that Okada run too. So that is high praise. I am very unfamiliar with Iwatani's work, so this was a nice little introduction for me. I did kind of map out as we're going through the matches, like where she's at in her career by following through the Wikipedia. So I learned some things. Like in primary school, she was, you know, an athlete. She did judo and high jump. But in high school, she said she started isolating herself from society, spending 3 years mostly indoors, which, like,
oh,
I mean, we also spent some years indoors, but it was not by choice.
Well,
Yeah. After quitting high school, she fell in love with professional wrestling at a Dragon Gate event. So it was a Dragon Gate show that really captivated her.
Do you think she was just like watching Pac and was just like, that guy?
She saw Akira Tozawa pre-body transformation, was like, I want to do that.
That sounds fun. It was Akira Tozawa versus Ricochet, and she was all in.
She contacted Fuka, the general manager of Stardom, who were looking for new wrestlers, and eventually moved to Tokyo in 2010 to pursue a career in professional wrestling. She was part of the first ever class of trainees at Stardom, and then made her debut at Stardom's inaugural event, January 23rd, 2011, facing fellow debutante Arisa Hoshiki. And then they tagged together, then they became a part of Io Shirai's Planet stable, which I thought was cool. But then Hoshiki retired in 2012, and Iwatani began teaming with Shirai under the team name Thunder Rock.
I know.
Yes! What a great name.
That's so sick.
Thunder Rock is like, that's the Bebop and Rocksteady of tag team names. It's outstanding.
It's like, whenever you like just have like two people who are maybe not the brightest in the world, and they're like, all right, we have to make a name for our band, or we have to make a name for our group or something. It's just like, all right, cool. Thunder Rock.
That's a great team. It's like the John Mulaney bit about how there were two reading groups when he was growing up, and there was the really smart group, and they were the Blue Angels. And then his group was Group Two. tough look. They're like, what do you think, Group Two? And they were like, that's a great name.
Yeah.
So Iwatani had been really successful. April 23rd, 2015, she won the first ever Cinderella tournament, a lovely name for a tournament, defeating Kaguma in the finals, and as a result was earned a title shot at the Stardom's top title, the World of Stardom Championship, and had this match, their first match, against Kairi Hojo, who we know better in the Western world as Kairi Sane, May 17th, 2015. Now,
yes,
something we must note. We put the links for all of these matches on fullpresswrestling.com. Javier found these matches in an unusual place.
Yep. This restaurant. this website called noodlemagazine.com or something like that.
A video site that has multiple types of videos, including those that are not safe for work.
At all.
So don't watch these on your lunch break, as I almost did at my job.
Unless you're like me and got lucky and got the crypto ads for some reason.
Yes, I did not get the crypto ads. I think it was I could only access it through a VPN. And then once I turned the VPN on, I had to get rid of the ad blocker portion of it in order to actually access the content of the site. And that's when things hit the fan. So if you have an ad blocker, you should be fine. But just a heads up for all of our listeners if you want to go watch these matches. And you should go watch this match because it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's a great match. Just honestly, just immediately press start and hit full screen as quick as you possibly can.
Bang.
You're golden.
Full screen. So you said that Iwatani's like legendary run really starts 2019, right?
Yeah, I would say it starts pretty much right after Io leaves. So 2018 into 2019, that range. Yeah.
So how would you describe Iwatani in this kind of era? She's obviously not she's not like a greenhorn. Like she starts in 2010, so she's been around for 5 years.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, she's just so young at this stage that you know, and she's not like really the focus of the company at this point. It's like it's pretty much what Julia was kind of for like the last 2 years or so. Like it's somewhere in that range where you know you could tell they're positioning her for big things, but she just hasn't gotten there yet. It's like NXT Rhea Ripley. You know, like
that's a really good comp. I think
there's promise, you know, it's coming, but just not yet.
I think that's a really good comp. I think Rhea Ripley, like where you see it and you're like, there's definitely a thing here.
Yeah, and then like, it happens and you're like, it's probably be the star.
Yeah. In terms of the match itself, really good. Like again, to go beat by beat in these matches is going to take a lot. Something I would love in all of these matches, I think every single one starts like this, is the excellent, like, trades. Like there's tests of strength maybe, but also like there's the quick mat wrestling, there's like the headlock spot into the head scissors spot, and then the standoff. And I love that.
I also love how I don't think any of these matches started in a similar way.
So
like I think they all started either they started grappling, they started like full on like Greco-Roman style wrestling, they started either test of strength or they started with strikes. Like,
started evenly. Like, that was the thing, is always like, these are evenly matched competitors. Look at them, because they always almost always end up in a standoff at the end, which I find very interesting.
Yeah, I also I like that a lot, because it's, you know, in a situation like this, like, Mayu's not winning the belt. Let's just, we got to nix that right
now. Not at this point.
She's not winning the belt from Kairi. But you got to make it believable that, okay, she can stand toe-to-toe with Kairi Sane, with Kairi Hojo, who, again, is probably the top name in Stardom. At 2015, yeah, she is the top name in Stardom at that point. Like, Io is right there, and her time is about to come, but right now it's Kairi's time. And, you know, their outfits look really similar as well, which is another thing I put
on. It does. They do look similar. If you watch the intro, you can clearly identify Kairi Sane immediately because she comes out with the giant pirate hat.
Well, they also don't look similar.
No, they don't. But from a distance, even, you see a gigantic pirate hat. The other thing Stardom does for title matches is they have who I assume is in charge of Stardom there with the belt and then the two competitors. And when Kairi comes up, the feather from her hat hits him in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, that's just annoying. But also, like, what a great hat. She has a Kentucky Derby style hat on at all times.
Just a full-on, like, Southern Belle, but, like,
how ridiculous style would your hat be if you were at the Kentucky Derby?
The feather would, like, what's the biggest bird? Is it an ostrich?
Big Bird is the biggest bird, but you're right, an ostrich.
Well, like, is Big Bird the biggest bird, or is he just big?
That's a great question. I think he's the biggest bird.
Well, just take whatever the biggest feather from whatever bird there is out there. Get me three of them. Glue them together. Boom, that's coming right off.
That's fair. I think I would dress like Snoop Dogg's character in Starsky and Hutch. I think that's where I'm going with mine. Or I'd be a cross of that and like Dumb and Dumber.
I want to be Eddie Griffin in, oh my God. Is it How High? Is that where he's the pimp?
I don't remember. My Eddie Griffin discography or filmography is a little hazy. What was the spot you really liked in this match?
I love early on Kairi goes to hits a nice flying forearm. She does a running shoulder into the corner and then hits a blockbuster that honestly might be the smoothest blockbuster I've ever seen. Really, and then good. Immediately when she gets to near fall, it's like, oh, okay. The deepest Boston crab you'll ever see in your life.
There's a really good, for some reason, all the submissions in Stardom seem to have someone's foot touching the back of their head when they're not supposed to.
It's because they're all bendy.
They're all exceptionally bendy. Iwatani crawls to the ropes. Hojo pulls her right back into it. Now, before that, there was a spot that I really liked. Kairi is going and she's stomping into the other corner because she's like setting up for a big move in the corner. Iwatani rolls out of the ring and under the apron. And Kairi's like, where the hell did she go? And it's kind of like looking around like, where did she go? And she pops up on the other side. And I think she hits a crossbody. She pops on the top rope, does a diving dropkick, and then hits a crossbody to the outside. And I was like, that's the kind of stuff you need to pull when you're going up against the best. You got to figure out a way around it.
My favorite thing my favorite spot of this entire match, Kairi hits a sling blade and then goes up and hits a coup de grace.
I saw that and I was like, this is familiar.
I was like, she didn't rob it. I know she didn't rob it because he was doing it before he even left Japan. But also, Finn Balor, copyright strike, please.
But also the sling blade looks like different enough that you're kind of like,
I mean,
I'm just saying it looks.
I think it's just like Kairi's tiny.
It's like when Vanilla Ice said that he didn't copy Another One Bites the Dust because of the baseline.
That's so stupid. Mayu goes for a kick. Kairi catches it, wrenches it back, and puts like a modified cloverleaf submission, like the one that she does. I don't know what she calls that.
It looks
like it sucks.
It does look like it sucks, and it looks like it hurts. And then also an elbow drop to the small of the back. It's two count because Iwatani kicks out. I will say they made Iwatani look really good in terms of surviving here.
Yeah. That's what most surviving of this was. She must. Because, you know, she has to get the crap knocked out of her by a sliding lariat like a couple minutes after that submission. And I was like, oh God, Kyrie is not being gentle.
One thing I noticed with Iwatani, beautiful suplexes. A top rope Northern Lights suplex. Oh my goodness.
Beautiful.
And then she also hits really good
with a bridge.
Really good crucifix pins, which I like.
The crucifix bomb was just...
Yeah, it's nice. We'll go to the finish, though. There's a spinning back fist by Kyrie. She attempts a second one, misses by a country mile. There, Iwatani had sold the first one so well that she was like stumbling, and Kyrie was just going for back-to-back and just misses. Connects with another strike, hits an Alabama slam. I was like, hell yeah, hardcore Holly.
Yeah.
Get in! Which... I didn't understand much of Japanese commentary. I didn't understand any of it, but I did hear them say Alabama slam. And I was like, hell yeah. No other way to call it than to call it a slam of Alabama.
She goes another up. Another elbow drop. Insane elbow. 1, 2, 3. Kyrie wins the match. I love that they let Mayu kick out of the insane elbow.
Yes, she gets kick out once.
There was a delay on the pin, which
there
is
was
why
a big delay.
Protected it a little bit, but I love that she got to kick out. It's the not as iconic as Hook kicking out at one of a muscle buster, but it's pretty good.
There was a delay because Iwatani had been working on the arm of Kyrie the entire match, and so after she hit the first insane elbow, she like recovers and is like feeling a stinger in her arm, essentially. So really good storytelling all the way through in this match. I like it. If it wasn't for the porn ads, it would probably be my recommendation this week. But I mean, if you have a good ad blocker, this is maybe my recommendation anyways. All right,
is it actually your what would be your recommendation?
No,
or did you just want to make
it's a joke I wanted to make. There's a match I like better, a couple matches actually. This was good though. On May 6th of that same year, Iwatani and Iwashirai, of course named Thunder Rock,
amazing,
defeated Chelsea and Kairi Hojo to win the vacant Goddess of Stardom championship, aka their tag titles. April of 2016 or 2015, Iwatani won her second Cinderella tournament, which is very cool, and received another shot at the World of Stardom Championship, but lost to Io Shirai. So, sadness.
I think we covered that match.
I believe we did. Our next match is a tag title match. It is Shirai and Iwatani versus Jungle Kayuna and Momo Watanabe, the Goddesses of Stardom Championship from January 10th, 2016. For those of you playing along at home, Jungle Kayuna has the green leafy-looking skirt, which is, I think, wonderful branding. Good for her. Yeah. And Momo Watanabe is in the white and green.
And they both look great.
Yeah.
They just, like, I saw them out there. They, like, posed and everything. Because another thing about Stardom is they gonna pose.
The theatrics
and
are
I was
nice.
Just like, I was just like, this is great. If this were a Broadway play, like, they would be my favorites.
There's like a very tentative handshake in the middle of the ring. Who do you know who are faces and heels here? I'm assuming
they're both faces, honestly. I think Jungle might be
tweener,
like a tweener, but like a baby, like a lovable baby face who does heel stuff, you know,
like a Toru Yano type whole deal. Life?
Oh. No, we don't love Hulk Hogan. I'm more like a Toru Yano.
They used to. They truly used to.
Technically, R-Truth right now is a heel. I just want to say it. Just got to say it. He's with the Judgment Day. He's technically a heel.
You're right, and I don't like it.
Just saying.
You're right, and I genuinely don't like it. All right, what did you think
of this
match?
Heel. I thought this was cool. I love that Mayu twirls when the streamers get thrown. So she literally like wraps herself up. She does it on purpose.
She's mummified. Yeah.
It's freaking hilarious. There's a very fast start between Mayu and Momo. I could not keep track of it at all.
There's a lot of action this match.
There's a lot of Mayu getting rocked this match.
So there is a good spot where Iwatani and Shirai are in control. I'd say early on. They get some control. This is good. You know, flapjack in the basement, dropkick by Shirai. They do like a double armbar pose, which was super weird. But Watanabe gets like sent to the outside. Then for a while, poor Mayu is just selling her ass off.
Like she gets knocked off the top rope into Io. She gets rocked immediately every single time she gets put in. And Io has to keep getting into the ring to save her ass.
There every is time. An outstanding spot. Watanabe gets some corner drop kicks in and then tags in Kiona, who does a chokehold spin. She grabs Iwatani under the neck, like by the neck, and just spins her in a circle. Throw that girl in a circle. It's unfortunate.
I love when Kiyome and Watanabe, they just like put like Steiner recliners pretty much on Mayu and Io, and then they're just like pulling them by the hair.
And then Kiyono hits a like does a Walls of Jericho to Iwatani, and more like a lion tamer because of how bendy Iwatani is. It was great.
It's a good thing she was a gymnast early on in life.
At this point in the match is when my wife came in. Luckily, not on the porn site. And she watches for a couple minutes, and the first thing she says is, "Huh, these outfits remind me of Dance Moms." And I didn't know what to do with that information, but I did put it in my notes. So I clearly must have thought it was valuable information.
Mayu hits a springboard crossbody to save herself, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because she was getting rocked. Mayu hits an exploder with a bridge. This match was pretty much a tornado tag because they were just going in and out like nothing with no pins. Io eats a flatliner into a pin that was so freaking clean from Momo Watanabe that I was just like, that might be my finisher if I ever become a wrestler.
There is one spot in that kind of area there where Shirai's hung up in the corner. She dodges a dropkick by doing a sit-up, essentially. Iwatani then comes in with the bridging suplex, and Shirai just handstand walks out of the corner to drop onto Watanabe, and it's all like bang, bang, really quick, and I was like, this is so good. It's so smooth. Talk about the finish. Yeah, we'll go to the finish.
Jungle hits a power slam off the top. Mayu hits a clean super kick to Jungle to basically take her out, kind of. Io does that German suplex that she has where she like kind of like lifts the person up higher so she can grab them lower on their waist and then just holds them. Like
sometimes she does forward, it in straight just, in straight jacket form where she does cross their arms.
Yeah.
Sometimes she just lifts them up. So I always call it the straight jacket German, but sometimes she doesn't do the full arm movement, but it's fine. It looks good no matter what.
And then she goes up to the top, follows it with an elbow drop. 1, 2, 3. Thunder Rock wins.
Thunder Rock should always win. First it was Man Mountain Rock, and now I like Thunder Rock. These are my favorite rocks.
Where's Dwayne?
Dwayne's on there. Igneous is on there somewhere. Rocky Road is on there somewhere.
Stalagmite.
Rocky Balboa is on there somewhere. Anyways, I'm going to go rank my favorite rocks. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we have some more Mayu Iwatani. Back from the break, November 11th, 2016, both Thunder Rock and Threedom, which was Thunder Rock plus Kairi Hojo, were dissolved when Shirai turned on Iwatani. Sadness. After the two had lost to Hojo and Yokobito in the finals of the Goddesses of Stardom Tag League. This led to Iwatani unsuccessfully challenging Shirai for the World of Stardom Championship at the year-end show. The following day, it was named 2016's Match of the Year for Stardom.
That was the match we covered.
Reportedly, Iwatani was originally scheduled to win the match, but the result was changed after she told Stardom that she wanted to retire from wrestling in 2017.
Oh.
So she wanted to retire, but then she actually came back. And when she came back, she defeated Kairi Hojo on May 14th of 2017 to win the World of Stardom Championship. June 21st, 2017, she defeated Shirai to win the World of Stardom Championship for the first time in her fifth challenge, becoming the first to win the World and Wonder of Stardom Championships simultaneously. So she won the Wonder from Kairi and then wins the World of Stardom from Shirai. So she kind of comes out on top of Threedom, which is very cool.
Yes. For those who don't know, the World of Stardom is the main title. It's the red belt. The Wonder of Stardom is the white belt. It's kind of like the... I don't want to say it's the IC title, but it's honestly more like the NXT title where it like goes to a younger person usually. Yeah.
So Iwatani won the Wonder in May 14th and then on June 21st won the World of Stardom because both Kairi and Io were going to WWE.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why. So let's look at a defense of Mayu Iwatani. Stardom Midsummer Champions, August 13th, 2017. It's a World of Stardom title match, so the big title, versus Kagetsu. What do you know about Kagetsu?
Honestly, freaking nothing. They had a match that was super highly like rated that I really wanted to watch, but I could not find. And so I was like, this one's probably also good. So I threw it on, and guess what? It was.
This match has a murder in it. An attempted murder. And we will talk about it, because this is an attempted murder.
Yeah. So Mayu's still wearing her tiger mask, which is amazing. I love it. Like, even though Io turned on her and left, she still has to do it.
It's like keeping something from an ex, right? Like, if an ex buys you, like, a...
Depends on what it is.
I had an ex buy me a... she and, like, two of my friends pitched in an Xbox 360.
And I was that you keep.
It's actually right beside me.
That you keep, brother.
It's still here.
That's valuable. I mean, more like, she got me this teddy bear. You know?
Teddy bear yeet. But like, nice hoodie? That's probably staying.
Just change the backstory. The backstory.
I stole this off of someone. No, I robbed a man for this.
I bought this at Macy's.
It was on sale. Kagetsu's got like black baggy pants, some eye black. It's very villain.
It was not only very villain, it was very like anime villain. You know what I mean? It's like,
as the person in this twosome that knows less about anime, I didn't want to be the one to be like, that's what an anime villain looks like.
But legit, I looked at her and I was like, damn, did Light just become like a ninja? Like, I was like, damn, okay. No, it does. It does.
This match takes place over 7 episodes. The old Dragon Ball Z conundrum.
Jesus. So people post quite often either like the Goku versus Cell, like the full fight, or the Goku versus Frieza full fight on Twitter. And I'm like, this is 2 hours and 35 minutes. It's like, what is going on right now?
Yeah. This is a complete aside. And then we'll get back to the match, I promise. Have you seen those like epic battle simulator things where they can be like, it's 1,000 Darth Vaders versus a million codes?
Kelly likes to show me the there was one that was like ostriches against like some sort of like a 1,000 ostriches against like 100 sharks or something like that, and it was so freaking funny.
I saw one, it was like 4 different cities, and it was like 4 different types of military versus like a zombie horde. So it was like the Navy, or it was like the Marines, US Army, like a historical army and a German army versus like a million zombies. And I was like, this is actually very interesting.
This is what Deadliest Warriors should have been.
God, I love that show and that game. So this match, Kagetsu has some friends that she comes out with, and they are very important in the match. They are very annoying. Like, Iwatani misses a dropkick in the bottom rope and is pulled out of the ring by the two women who are with Kagetsu, and just they kick the shit out of her.
They're just like, fight back! Fight back!
Kagetsu spits in the face of Iwatani and is like focusing on the right knee. One of the friends distracts the ref. The other one passes a water bottle to Kagetsu and she pours it on Iwatani's face.
That's what that was? Okay. I was like, what is that? That she just got,
why is she so damp?
Why is her face so like, cause she got spat on? And I was like, is that water or is that clear mist? Like, what is that?
Also, that would be a lot of spit.
Is that much?
It made her
That is a lot. If that is the amount of spit that she had in her mouth, like
a doctor.
Solid, what, like 3-4 minutes into a match, we need to get that checked out.
Call a doctor. Iwatani does get some offense in here. Great crossbody from the top rope to the outside. Then there's a game battle
after that.
Yeah, because I guess Iwatani also had friends or supporters there. They're brawling into the crowd, big two-hand chop, and then they're up the stand. Iwatani suplexes Kagetsu onto the concrete.
And I love how she sells it. She's like, oh, shit, that kind of hurt.
Iwatani, this is where the attempted murder comes. So,
oh, God.
They're on the concourse entrance to the stands. You know, like the concrete thing, and then you walk through the tunnel to get into the crowd, right?
Up the stairs.
They're on that. And she's getting her leg grabbed by Kagetsu's homies. They then take a shirt and just put it around her neck and start choking her with it. And then to make matters worse, they drop her into the entryway. So she is being hung.
She is quite literally hanging. And then to make matters even worse, she hangs for a few seconds. Yep. Now, this isn't like 1 or 2 seconds. No, this is like 5, 6, 7, like somewhere in that range. And then they just drop her.
She just gets dropped down the stairs.
Pretty much. Obviously, people go rushing to her to check out, like, is she alive? But I
just
still, have, it's...
I'm just like, this is Big Boss Man at WrestleMania 15, except on a smaller
stage. It's
also
like, are they in the back just like, yeah, so we're going to hang you this match. Is that cool?
Casual hanging. How about you? Just hanging out. What are you doing here? You can't get away with murder. This isn't a Shondaland show. You can't do that. You can't murder people in Stardom. Stardom's a nice place.
Yeah, there are rules.
This we is are the a bad place.
No, what? Mayu hits a bridging German for a near fall. She goes up. She hits a frog splash for a near fall. Mind you, this is all after she's been freaking hung.
And also kicked down the stairs. Didn't even add that part in. Kagetsu sees her being dropped and then just boots her down the stairs further, like down towards the ring.
Dragon suplex with a bridge for a near fall. And then Kagetsu gets her licked back with just one of the most like impactful choke slams I've ever seen from someone not named Kane.
Did you notice that she doesn't actually choke her? She puts her hand like a fist under her chin.
Oh, that's what it was? I thought she like did the who is it? Is it Luchasaurus who kind of just like palms a chest and then
no, she like puts a fist under her chin. I was like, "What? Now you won't choke her?" Like you tried to kill her earlier?
Here's the thing, though. It's like, what if she just like broke her trachea, and then it's like, oh, we've gotta finish the match, but she can't exactly like have any neck issues. She can't have any throat moves going forward.
Kagetsu hits that choke slam, goes up for a 450. Iwatani gets the knees up, a release full Nelson suplex, then a crucifix pin, no dice, another full Nelson suplex, a third with the bridge, the pin. Iwatani retains in a match where Kagetsu looks like a complete like devious monster, and Iwatani looked pretty resilient.
Yeah, I really wish that their other match was posted, because now after seeing this one, I'm like, I want to see that one. Because it happens, this was what, 2017?
Yes, this was August of 2017.
The other one, I think, is 2019. So it's like, ooh, it's a little later down the line. Maybe you know, this. It's during Mayu's God Mode run. Maybe let's see what's happened.
So on September 23rd of 2017, Iwatani would lose the Wonder of Stardom Championship to Yoko Bito in her third defense. And then the following day, Iwatani lost the World of Stardom Championship to Toni Storm, again in her third defense. That one was unplanned. The match had to be stopped after 2 minutes because Iwatani legitimately dislocated her elbow. So they had to award the title to Storm and kind of pivot from there.
Oh, I remember that, actually.
Yeah. November 4th, 2019, Iwatani would defeat Bea Priestley to win the World of Stardom Championship for a second time, and that takes us to another title defense. World of Stardom Championship, of course, on the line, October 18th, 2020, versus Takumi Iroha. I don't know who Iroha is, but she has a great series of gears, and it like the amount of the excellent gear every single match so far has been noticeable. Like, we're four matches, like, everyone looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe. I'd never seen her wrestle before, but as you know, it's a match that kept popping up for me. So I was like, oh, let me just add that in here. You know, it's a nice point in the career of Mayu, and also, you know, it's
the start of the God run.
Yeah, it's a learning opportunity for us as well. So it's like we get to learn about someone else new. Rather than,
and that's the thing. It's one of the things I love about this podcast is learning about new people.
Like, I could have thrown in the Bea Priestley match, but I didn't want to.
We've seen Bea
Priestley. I've seen her wrestle.
Yeah. I like that Iroha's strategy here is I'm going to kick you in the legs all of the time. That is the thing I have going for you.
So there's a handshake before all of these matches, and they're usually pretty respectful about it and like actually do it. Iroha sticks out a fist bump because she's like, I'm too fucking cool. I got a lot of Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine vibes from her.
That's fair.
And like just aura wise. And so she sticks out a fist bump for Mayu to go. And Mayu's just like sensitive about it and then just just gives it a high five.
Yeah. Also, this is like a COVID match, right? So maybe it's like the don't shake hands, like, but we'll still do something. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, Iroha then just is kicked, like she kicks the shins of Iwatani to start the match.
And then puts on a figure four.
And a Brock lock? Is that what that was?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was like the worst looking Brock. When I say worst, I don't mean worst like it looks bad, like the move. I mean worst like that shit look like it hurt.
It does look like it hurt. All I was thinking of was watching the beginning of this match where she's just kicking the legs. I had two of my like closest friends in high school. When they met me, it was the sixth grade. They walked up to me and each one individually kicked me in the shin. This is my first day of school at this school. I just moved. And they introduced themselves.
And this was the sixth grade?
Sixth grade. They're like, my name's so-and-so. My name's so-and-so. And they kicked me in the shins and they walked away. And I was like, this school is weird. I don't like it here. And then like
hard?
Not hard, but also not like it wasn't a love tap either. And one of them played soccer. So like she could kick pretty hard. And then I was like, that's weird. And then I'm still friends with them. So I don't know. I don't know. What a weird time.
This you guys rebonded in kicking. Mayu Iwatani hits one of the nastiest looking dragon screws I've ever seen in my life off the apron.
She's trying to take her leg off.
Yeah, just follows that up with a big suicide dive and then follows that up immediately with a dive off the top rope to the outside.
I will say that is something that Iwatani does all the time. At least from the matches, is suicide dive immediately up to the top rope, immediately a crossbody off the top. Like it like clockwork.
Someone's got to do it, man.
might as well be her.
Iroha hits a jaded or what else is there? Implant buster, whatever anyone else calls it, that move. Crucifix bomb by Mayu that popped me to know. Evan, you know I love a good crucifix pin. Now I love a good crucifix bomb. That was one of the best I have ever seen.
So she hits that crucifix bomb, which is outstanding. Then a great deadlift German by Iroha, which is great. The other thing I started noticing here is because we've kind of seen the progression of Stardom from 2015 to 2019, you can see that like the production value is a little bit better. And by the end of this, you can see like, wow, this is like they have gone far. But you can see
these growth are bigger now.
It's interesting to see the growth of a promotion because like obviously the crowd's different because it's COVID times, but like still it's pretty good.
When we did Io Shirai last year, you could also kind of see it too.
You can map it as well. Yeah.
I think the first match that we had on there was against the first Ace of Stardom. I forget her name. But that was in like the tiniest little like high school gymnasium or something like that. You know, like it's not a very big thing at all. And then it like slowly progresses until they're like literally in an arena.
There's a spot where they essentially sit crisscross applesauce and start slapping each other.
Love that.
That's fun. That's a fun way to spend an afternoon.
That's a good time. Is that how you made friends in the seventh grade? You got kicked.
Yeah, I walked in and just beat the shit out of people. Seventh grade, somebody who I'm not really friends with now. Like we just fell out of touch, like no ill will or anything. He did stab me with a mechanical pencil, like right here in the trap. I think he was joking. You know how you used to be able to like put the lead out and then you'd be able to make it look like you were like taking a needle. I think he was jokingly doing that and he just like stabbed me and it like I had like lead in my trap for a little bit. It was fun.
So I in the third grade, I'll never forget this, third grade. I forgot the guys. Oh, Hassan. Shout out to Hassan if you're listening to this for some reason. He was my boy. We were tight. We were still tight after this. But he stabbed me in the leg, like right on my quad, right pretty much like right above my knee, pretty much. Like I still have the mark to this day. It's not there's not lead in there. I've had it checked out multiple times. There's just like a permanent lead stain on my lead, on my leg now because of this.
Damn.
I was like, am I going to die?
Hassan leaving a mark.
Yeah. Shout out.
Okay. In the match, there's a spot where Iwatani essentially gets into her new generation bag. Because she laughs off some forearm uppercuts from Iroha, hits her with a tombstone, does an Undertaker pin, and gets a two. And I was like, okay, she's seen Undertaker matches. That's cool. Kicking Iroha in the head as she's trying to get up, and then hits a razor's edge. And I was like, what the fuck is this? 1994.
All right. And sandwiched in between that is one of the most beautiful finishing moves in wrestling being botched by Iroha. Because so now Mayu Iwatani kind of uses the Poison Rana as a finisher.
Yeah.
For the most part. And she does one here and she sets it up perfectly. And then Iroha fucks up the gut, like the flip backwards. Like she just completely botched it.
I didn't even realize that that's what that was.
Yeah, completely messed it up.
Iroha nearly kicks Iwatani's head off and then hits a sit-out last ride because she too has seen Undertaker matches.
Yeah, but she was like, screw the 90s with the tombstone. I'm going big man.
Yeah, I'm going big evil. Iwatani tries a top rope Frankensteiner, turned into a super sit-out powerbomb, which was very, very cool. I like that.
Great.
Iroha hits a swanton. I was like, Jeff Hardy's here too? This is great.
She saw that ladder match and was like, I'm in.
I got ideas. spinning powerbomb by Iroha goes for another, but it's turned into a Frankensteiner for a two, which does kind of lead up to the finish, which I thought was actually a pretty interesting setup for a finish.
Yeah, I mean, the kicks from Iroha were scary at this point.
The head kicks were disgusting.
Yeah. Mayu kicked out at one point using the Minami Toyota bridge. I love that. It's like,
I love that too. Yeah.
And then, like, she just kind of rolls into a pin at one point. And
well, so what happens is there's another running razor's edge by Iroha. And then Iroha is going to pick her up. Essentially, she's going to pick her up from the powerbomb position. Like, she's going to scoop her up with her legs around her neck and, like, pick her up and immediately hit another powerbomb. Iwatani, from the ground, does, like, a quick snap Frankensteiner to Iroha and turns it into a pin very quickly, gets the three count. And I was like, oh, it was almost like she was playing possum, but it also struck me as like an instinct kind of move. I thought it was a nice spot, nice finish.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And I was like, damn. Like, she basically just said, oh, you're going to kick the hell out of me? Yeah, I'm ending this.
Yeah, I'm done with this. It was a good match. So out of the matches we've covered thus far, we got one more match that I know was your recommendation this week.
Yeah,
I know it is. Yeah. And it is mine too. Out of the four matches that we've covered so far, what would your recommendation be?
Probably the Kagetsu match.
It's the Kagetsu match because it's the most.
It's not because of the shock factor of that spot. It's more so that's the match that I feel like Mayu shows the most as a seller. Like she sells a lot in that match.
There's also an attempted homicide. So like, there's stuff. There's stuff. All right. We're going to take another commercial break. When we get back, I'll probably tell more stories about people getting stabbed. Back from the break. On November 15th, 2020, Iwatani would lose the world championship to Utami Hayashishida, ending her reign at 377 days. Now, our last match is from Nagoya Fight, January 29th, 2022. It is a World of Stardom number one contenders match. It is Mayu Iwatani versus Julia. I cede the floor to you to talk about Julia.
Julia's just like the best wrestler in the world. I cannot praise Julia enough. At this stage of her career, though, she's still not that she's like not as obviously she's not as good as she is now because now she's just like a freaking world beater. But she's like in that stage that I guess you could say Mayu Iwatani was back in those early matches that we covered where she couldn't exactly get over the hump just yet. But you're like, okay, they're positioning her for something big. She's also a heel, like big heel. Like she's a part of that Belladonna group. I think if she's not the leader, she's one of the leaders of that Belladonna group. That is like just probably the biggest heel group in Stardom at that point. And she's so good. She has like a unique look. She's got some size compared to the other women that you usually see in Stardom who are, now admittedly, she's not that tall. She's probably like 5'4", 5'5". But compared to like Amaya Iwatani, who's like 5'1", 90 pounds soaking wet, it's a big difference. And she just looks like a badass, and she wrestles like a badass. And this is my favorite match of the week because it's so good.
I wrote in my notes, there's going to be 5 minutes of Javier talking about how good Julie is.
And guess what? We've already gone 2 minutes in. There's now, nice technical work at the start.
I will say this too. I'm going through the matches and I'm really excited. I'm like, okay, last match. Let's dive into it. I'm looking at the history and I'm looking at the history. So I look up the event. One, biggest stadium we've seen for Stardom by far.
Yeah, very not cool. Even close.
Two, I spoil the ending of the match because I see the time of the match. And it says that it's, or I see in the opening, it says that they fought to a very good time limit draw. Now, Javier, the link we have is for the whole show. And I assume people like Mayu, Tani, and Julia are the main event. And Javier says, start the clip at 2 minutes or 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I might have typoed that one.
Now, I start there. One, we're accidentally partway through the match. But I thought this was a 60-minute time limit match. And I was going to, beat you. Okay? Because the matches have been relatively long to this point. And I was like, are you making me end with an hour? And an hour of good wrestling is still good, but I'd already watched 2 hours of wrestling.
Well, the red belt main events, that's just what happens. So it's not,
and that's the thing, is I didn't realize this wasn't, until I looked up the show, I didn't realize it wasn't a World of Stardom title match. So then I saw it was a half hour time limit. I'm like, well, I got time for a half hour. It's so worth it. This was all a long walk for a short drink of water of me telling you this match is really fucking good.
Yeah, they have a nice technical, it's just nice technical grappling to start the match. Yeah. They're just going counter for counter, hold for hold, all this other stuff. Mayu hits a neck breaker for a near fall that looked great. And then that's when it honestly just starts with her. The first 5-6 minutes of this match is legitimately just her taking Julia to fucking school.
And specifically doing a lot of damage to her by grabbing Julia by the hair, whether it's like working her in the ropes and pulling her hair, pulling her up by the hair and then hitting her with a move. I was like, are you envious of her hair? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, because Julia has these super long, thick braids that are just all over the place and they're painted. It looks so cool. And so she's just like taking advantage of that.
When Iwatani goes for a suicide dive to the outside, and Julia breaks it up by hitting her something, what does she hit her with?
I thought it was a chair.
I didn't think it was. I thought it was like a board. I was like, where? Because it didn't look like a chair.
But I don't. Okay, I don't maybe know. It is. I mean, they've got those like little plastic chairs. So it's like
tiny tables, tiny chairs. Yes.
You're used to what's it called? You're used to the metal chairs from WWE. We're not doing. They don't do that there.
Just a rocking chair. Just fucking.
So she stops the suicide dive with that. She hits a big head kick, then a shotgun drop kick for a near fall, and then she starts targeting the right arm. And the next few minutes is just Julia going to task.
A very common theme is attacking the right arm of Iwatani. It's happened in, I think, 4 of the 5 matches. The only one where it didn't, Kagetsu tried to kill her. So that's the only one where it really doesn't happen.
She hits a nice PK to the arm. She hits an overhead belly to belly with the arm like trapped so she would land on it.
Yeah.
And honestly, Mayu is not given any room to breathe up until she moves on a, Julia's coming on a corner, rushing towards her in the corner, and Mayu gets out of the way and then hits an explosive drop kick. Like it was just like boom.
Then there's a thrust kick, a Northern Lights suplex for a 2 count. She goes for the top rope stomp, like the coup de grace. It's missed. Julia immediately tries an octopus hold. Iwatani smartly just flat back bumps and crushes Julia.
Yeah.
Which is the way to get out of abdominal stretches and octopus holds. Just fall backwards.
It's true. They start going back and forth on the outside. And then Julia drops the ref, pretty much throws him down to the ground and then uses him as a step stool to hit a drop kick.
It was really good. This is where I realized, I think the biggest change for me watching Joshi wrestling and Japanese wrestling in general is the crowd. There is clapping in response to athletic feats. There is some response to things, but a lot less of the like vocality, a lot less cheers and screams, a lot more just like applause, 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 and then O's for like big moments.
Yeah. And also the fact that the women that wrestle in all these Joshi promotions are fucking insane.
Yeah, it's like any
did you see the tweet that went, it did rounds a few weeks ago, that was like, any move that you can think of that involves like very dangerous neck and head moves, like bumps, was probably invented by a Joshi.
I believe
like,
it.
And they like had like a little thread going, and it was like Burning Hammer, so and so Joshi, like Vertebreaker, so and so Joshi. Like, it was like, oh my god,
they're just going for it. They're just going it's for it.
Doing it.
Is Julia's gear covered in duct tape, or am I not seeing it properly?
Yeah, I don't think you're seeing it properly.
It looks like duct tape. I thought she was like a handyman.
Camo.
Yeah, but there's spots where it's just like one big gray strip. I'm like, that's duct. I've made duct tape wallets before. That's duct tape.
I don't know, fam. I don't think it's duct tape. Maybe she had like a little malfunction going and she covered it up with duct tape.
No, man. Like there were multiple pieces. And I was like, have you ever done an ABC party before? Duct tape is your best friend.
ABC party?
Anything but clothes party.
So, Julia.
No, we're not getting off the topic that easily. No, absolutely not. These were
anything but clothes?
These were bar nights that would be run by my school. Like, you'd go to the school bar. Like, it wasn't run by the school, it was run by the campus bar. And you would try to make an outfit out of like other stuff. So like one time I made a chainmail tank top out of paper clips. And then
I don't even want to know how long that took you.
A couple episodes of House. I think I was watching House at the time. A couple episodes, like a DVD disc of House.
Jesus Christ.
Is that the oldest sentence you've ever heard?
No, because I used to watch House. Like,
no, but I watched it on DVD.
That just sounds like a you problem. I watched it on TV.
We didn't have Netflix yet.
I was just watching it on Fox.
Why is he so mean to everyone?
Because he's broken, Evan. Wheelbarrow just German.
Sexually harasses Cuddy all day, every day.
All day, every day.
And we were like, we cheer for this man. Give him Emmys.
Julia hit a neck breaker off the apron. There's a wheelbarrow German. And then they just have a German suplex battle where they're just like, German suplex. The other person was like, no sell, get back. German suplex, no sell, come right back. No German suplex. Until finally they like stumble and both just fall.
Iwatani goes up top after another German moonsault, but Julia with the knees up locks in a triangle choke right away and then pivots into a Rings of Saturn. I was like, hell yeah.
And Mayu is so bendy. Like, her arms are literally like, her elbows are touching. Like, I don't know how the hell her body's doing that.
Like, you could lock a room and Iwatani would get out under the floor or something. Like, she'd slip away somehow.
She's not made of gelatin here.
We don't know that for sure.
Yeah, we don't, but we kind of do. Julia hits a Falcon Arrow, and then Mayu Iwatani basically no-sells it. It just slips kind of back and like gets a pin off of that. And I was like, oh, okay.
She hits a top rope Frankensteiner. And the whole time, and this is, I think, the thing I really like about Iwatani, there's this has happened, I think, in two or three of the matches, in total, including this one. There's a point where she's so in pain that she just starts laughing every match. And that's like, it's like when Brock gets really red and you're like, oh shit, like it's about to hit the fan. If Iwatani is laughing at you, you're about to have a very big problem.
If Brock has his tongue out and he's laughing, you're done. Goodbye. Yeah. Good night. Just leave.
So she's just wrecked. She top rope crossbody to the outside connects. She had tried one earlier. She ended up hitting everybody else that was standing outside except for Julia. Does a middle rope moonsault. Iwatani all the way up. Doesn't have a lot of strength. Hits the moonsault. Julia kicks out and is bleeding from the ear.
Yeah, it is. It looks tough. And then the worst part is she's bleeding from the ear, and then she just starts hitting headbutts on Mayu. And I'm like, what is going on here? Think of your health.
Think of the children. I don't know why Jerry Seinfeld is here saying think of the children, but that's fine. What's the deal with the moonsault? Where's the moon?
Honestly, like right after that, the bell rings and we get a draw.
It was a really good match.
What a it was a fucking war. You know how is what it was.
You know how good a match has to be for it to be a standalone. Like, I don't know the feud. I don't know what the resolution is. I don't know where we go from here. It's still worth watching.
I don't either. But
even if you don't know or you're not like a fully invested, just for 30 minutes to watch really, really, really good wrestling, this is 100% worth it. It is the recommendation this week, no doubt.
Yeah. Also, like, Evan, so Mayu's 30, right? How old do you think Julia is?
She's like 22 or something stupid like that.
No, she's like 28.
Really? I thought she was a lot. I thought she was like super young.
No, she's like 28 years old. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought she was like super young.
No, she looks great. Don't get me wrong. But like, oh, okay.
They all look great. Our promo is a press conference with Mercedes Moné from earlier in 2023, from April of 2023. They'll be meeting for the IWGP Women's Championship at the Yokohama Arena. It's Iwatani and Moné, and they are at like little tables. Like, Iwatani has a table. Somebody in the middle has a table.
Dinner kind of table.
Yeah, like, it's a folding one. You're eating the Swanson in front of the TV. You're watching Married with Children. You've been there. You're watching House.
DVD, apparently.
Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks. I will call her Sasha Banks by accident. It's Mercedes Moné. She's there. This is great because Iwatani is saying her promo in Japanese and it's being translated. And so...
Terribly. It's being translated terribly.
Look, I don't know another language. I know enough French to understand what's going on. I'm actively attempting to learn Portuguese. I don't think this woman knows enough Japanese. English.
I think she knows enough English, yeah.
It's she's getting the gist of it, but not a lot of it.
The worst thing that she did, like, at one point here, I didn't write down the quote, I should have. She was something like, Mayu definitely says something like, "Don't underestimate me," and the woman translating says, "Don't like estimate me too low,"
which, like, maybe a literal translate, because that happens a lot when you do translations, is very literal. But it's right?
Like, what is this? Is she live translating for fucking Google Translate?
Mercedes Moné's facial reactions are worth watching this press conference. She's so over the top. I love it. I miss her.
The freaking guitar.
So, yes. Okay. So, Iwatani's promo, she's saying that, like, she's a pro wrestling superstar. She's the star of stardom. She wants to be worldwide, and she will be by winning the
icon.
Belt. Yeah. She'll be the icon of stardom. Monet's making fun of Iwatani because Monet couldn't beat Kyrie for the IWGP title. But Monet did. She's a legend. And then I write down, I'm like, why does Monet have a little guitar purse? And then... Moné calls herself a little rock star, gets a little guitar, and sings a song. Do you know what do you have the lyrics on hand?
I don't. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, don't worry. I've got them. I've got them here. She goes, me, 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 me. And it's, Mayu sucks. Mayu sucks. Yes, she does. Mayu sucks. Yippee-ki-yay. Outstanding.
Yippee-ki-yay. Okay. The funniest thing was, so early on in the promo, Mayu says it's her first time challenging for the IWGP title, like, properly, because the first match that she had against Kyrie was the match for the inaugural, like, champion. And she says she, like, feels like Mercedes is small, which is true. She's a tiny woman.
Yep.
But when she's fighting, she looks big. And I was like, fuck is going, what is this that was when I realized this translator sucks.
As I was seeing that, I was like, is she saying that, like, it's how she, like, you know, fights bigger, like, she's got a bigger fight in her than her stature, like, is that what she's going for? Or is this, like, just a mean backhanded compliment of, like, you look small but you're actually really big?
Yeah. Which she's not, she's a, like, very, like, small woman,
like one of those back, oh, I love how you'll just wear anything, like,
you, oh, at that anything but clothes party.
Yeah, with my fucking paperclip chainmail shirt, baby.
What the hell did you have as bottoms?
I think I just wore shorts. I think I copped out. I was like, look, I already made a fucking shirt. All right. People would make, like, dresses out of, like, post-it notes, or, like, they'd wear, like, you know, like you've seen the photos of people
wear like underwear though, like
yeah, you should wear underwear.
I don't know. It's college. People are weird.
That's true. People are weird. Iwatani, after this awesome song by Monet, says enough of the insults, and it gets translated in this, please don't make me mad.
So Mayu says that she has no titles at the moment, which she didn't, but she's gonna like get the IWGP belt because it's the only one she hasn't gotten and she needs it. Mm-hmm. She says she's an icon.
Yep, she will be champion. Monet says that she's got something to say. She doesn't need a translator. And then she says, actually, I do need a translator. Come over here. And then she puts Iwatani through the tiny table. And by through,
you can
I
say
mean
anything. But please don't underestimate me.
Yeah, please don't make me mad. Please don't make me mad. You won't like me when I'm mad.
She and starts Monet, laughing. And I was like, oh, Mercedes is fucked.
Yeah. Monet was fucked because Iwatani would beat her for the IWGP Women's Championship. At the time of recording, Iwatani is the IWGP Women's Champion.
Yes, sir. The GOAT.
Very cool. The GOAT. It's very interesting to cover the career of somebody who's still actively doing it at a high level. But
yeah,
as this is meant for like an introduction to me, I now will be following Iwatani more closely. I will be looking to see clips and when she gets announced for matches and shit like that because I want continue to watch these. She's so good. We talked about it briefly throughout. Unbelievable seller.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Like, I know a lot of the things we talked about, like the German suplex battle, and there are some like, you know, she freaking survived getting hung, like all this other stuff. Like there are big no-sell moments, but that just happens in Japanese wrestling.
But there's always a memory, like she has like a muscle memory of like, this is supposed to hurt. Because guess what? It probably does hurt. So she sells the right things at the right time. The other thing, I love any wrestler who just suplexes people. If you look at my favorites, Kurt Angle, Shelton Benjamin. I like Taz because he's the same fucking height as me. But
Eddie.
Mayu Iwatani's suplexes are, again, outstanding. So this was really fun for me because she checked a lot of boxes that I'm looking for in a wrestler. And somebody, and so now I'm all in. I'm on the train.
Also, like, sneaky strong. Because, again, I mentioned she's not big. She's like 5'1", like 5'2", or 90 pounds soaking
wet.
What
she's listed at. She's listed,
on my life.
Just at 5'5", so let's say a little shorter. She's 5'5", 110.
Yeah, like, she's a tiny woman, and she is effortlessly suplexing people left and right who are bigger than her.
Yep.
It's great. It's insane. Mayu Iwatani's awesome. Evan, tell me more about what your thoughts are on Mayu Iwatani.
She's awesome. Everyone should go watch them. Go watch the Julia match. You'll be hooked on both, and you'll want to go watch more.
7 years from now, when the embargo is up on me being able to do a Julia episode, I'm just going to be so happy.
There's no embargo. There's no embargo on Julia episode. We just need, like, she's like,
she's literally not even in her prime.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it. It's why we don't do like,
she might be going to WWE like in a month from now.
That's why we don't do like a Seth Rollins one right now. Cause like he's in it right now.
He's also going to get multiple parts. So it's like,
that's true. Speaking of episodes, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, next week is episode 200. There's going to be a rebrand, so look out for a new logo. But also to prepare for that, you should send us questions. You can put them in reviews of the podcast wherever you are listening. You can email us at crossbodyofworkpod@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Instagram at crossbodyofwork. Happy to answer your questions about wrestling. It could be old wrestling, current wrestling, or any other things you want to talk about. Javier is pointing out for all of our subscribers on YouTube, go hit our subscribe button at Crossbody of Work on YouTube, fullpressshop.com to cop the merch and support the boys. Hopefully some new merch with the new rebrand coming soon to a store near you. Full Press Wrestling, of course, as always, for the links to this week's episodes. Again, reminder, not safe for work. Those will be labeled. But luckily, the Julia one is safe for work. Go watch that. It's fucking standing. It's real good.
Go watch the whole pay-per-view. It's like three hours long. Still, good wrestling.
We will have episode 200. It will drop the day of the Royal Rumble. We are very excited. You can see all of our new branding as of Wednesday on our social medias at Crossbody of Work and on YouTube. Javier, tell the people where they can find you on social media.
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. My resolution is to get the sign up for next week because it's 200.
I thought your resolution was going to be to get the sign up for next year. And I was going to say, that's a great, great resolution. You have lots of time to work on it, lots of time to prep. You can find me on social media at It's Evan Gomes, ItsEvanGomes on the Twitter. We're very excited. 200 episodes is a big deal. We're happy to make it to 200. We're on the way to 300. You know, that's just, there's no plan of stopping. So listen,
not one, not two, not three, not four, not five.
Except we're not going to be full of shit like LeBron James was there. It's going to be a really good time. We're going to make it to all those episodes. It's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast, the part you all listen for an hour just to get to. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, as of the day of recording, which is Thursday, yesterday was a year since Jay Briscoe, Jamin Pugh, passed away. And, you know, I just want to take this time to, you know, again, celebrate the life of just one of the most influential wrestlers for me personally. You know, him and his brother as a tag team watching Ring of Honor in that time period that I was, you know, late 2000s, early to mid 2010s. Like, the Briscoe brothers were the top tag team in the company. Jay Briscoe won, I think, multiple world titles with me literally
two world titles. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sucks that he's gone. It sucks that he's been gone this long. But, you know, last night on Dynamite, Mark was out there and he brought out his kids. And to see his daughter not only just there, but walking after, you know, there were rumors that she might never be able to walk again. That was not only like emotional and like a total like, holy crap, like a watershed moment, but like, you know, just goes to show the resolve that family has, because if she can pull through from something as serious as that, like fucking anything is possible. And the fact that you know, Mark and everyone just goes out there and keeps living, you know, like he's still with us, because, you know, he still is in a lot of ways. His legacy will always be with us and all this stuff. And it's been a year. It's crazy that it's already been a year. But yeah, rest in peace, Jay Briscoe. Miss you. And every year around this time period, I'll be sure to bring you up.
We lose so many good people in wrestling. It's really a shame, because there was such a good sense of community in the wrestling community. And then to have these performers that we let into our worlds every week, and then when they leave us, it's tough, man. But it's important to remember, and it's important to keep on doing the things. All right. We're back next week for episode 200. We're talking Eddie Guerrero. We're doing Q&As. We will see you next week.
Later.